belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. Glad you're here this morning. I wasn't quite sure what kind of a crowd we'd have with everybody going up to New York. And I hear they're having a good time in New York, so. Ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. Sixth chapter of Matthew. I'm going to start reading in verse 5 of chapter 6 of Matthew. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not our debts, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for yourself. Thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for us. Thank you for giving us eternal life and eternal salvation. Thank you for all the grace and the mercy and the goodness that you provide for us. Lord, help us to love you all through the days, no matter what happens to us. May we give you the glory and the honor. May your name be honored today. In Jesus' name, amen. Famously known as the Lord's Prayer, you also find this in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. A lot of people pray it as if it was a prayer, when in fact it's a teaching. It's a model prayer. It's a way to teach us how to pray. And I use it this way a lot for myself. I look at it and try to go through it and teach myself how to pray, how to better my prayers, how to better my relationship in speaking with God. And I think every one of us probably struggles with prayer. Prayer is difficult. Prayer is not easy. It takes work to discipline yourself to go and keep praying and pray for things that you say, "Lord, I want you to give me this." I go and you try to go in faith, and then 10 years later you still haven't seen it. And you wonder, "Lord, what am I doing?" It's hard sometimes to pray, but I know that God hears prayer. I know that God listens to us, and God wants to give us the things that we ask for. He promises over and over to give it to us, and that if we'll hang and keep asking, he'll give it. He wants to do that. So sometimes I get mad at myself and rebuke myself because I'll start a prayer, "Lord, I don't know how to pray." And that's not true. We know how to pray. The problem is we don't get it the way we want it, and God doesn't do it as fast as we want it done. And so we come back to God and say, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing." But that's not true. We have an example for prayer. We have a thought here to teach us how to pray. And I think we ought to use it that way. And in doing that, I look at this. I've been looking at it for years and going over it in my mind. And I just want to focus on one phrase this morning. Just one. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Have you ever thought about that phrase? What it means to you? We can first of all start talking about what it means in prayer. Everyone, you go to God, do you remember who God is? I mean, really. We sometimes take God for granted. We throw out our prayers because we want this, or we throw out our prayer because we want a little bit better job, or we want something better for us this way, or, "Man, Lord, there's traffic on the highway and I want to get somewhere. I don't want to sit here in this." We throw out all our prayers for our selfish reasons and our wielded praying for our own lustful things because we take God for granted. Like a Santa Claus who's just going to give us things that we want. Do you ever think about who God is? He says, hallowed be thy name. We're not talking about Santa Claus. We're not talking about Grandpa. We're not talking about the governor of the state or anybody else that's going to hand us things and things that we want and give us all these little things that we want. We're talking about God Almighty. We're talking about the God who created the universe. We're talking about the God who created you and me. Do you ever think about him as a creator? I mean, somebody who made you. You ever think about how special it is that somebody designed and made you the way you are? Yes. And there's 9 billion people in the world today, and probably have been 9 billion people that have lived throughout history. And here you are. You are an individual out of 18 billion people. You have a set of 10 fingerprints that nobody else has ever had. You talk about a wonderful God. He is magnificent. He is great. He's tremendous. He's more powerful and more understanding. He's got more knowledge, more than we can even understand or imagine. That's who you're going to pray to. Don't you think his name was worth being hallowed? Don't you think it's worth consecrating the God that you're going to talk to? Don't you think it's worth coming before his presence with a little bit of seriousness, with a little bit of sobriety, a little bit of caution, thinking, I'm coming before the presence of God. Amen. If you ever got an opportunity to present your petitions for whatever it is, just one single petition before the President of the United States, don't you think you'd dress up and consider that very seriously? Don't you think you'd think very seriously about how you're going to word your presentation? How you're going to word your request? How you're going to talk to him? How you're going to be respectful of him? How you're going to take care of things when you're dealing with him? We ought to be that considerate of God. He is powerful. He made you the way you are. With all your failures, he knew that. Amen. Nothing has ever caught God by surprise, and nothing ever will. The Bible says he created everything and he had it all planned before he started. Amen. It's all in his hands. You ever consider the stars? Psalms 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Yep. Every one of us in all of the world, all over the world, can look out there and we see the sun rise every day and set every night. God said he did that. Amen. And you know what? He did that 3 days after he created daylight. The sun came on the third day, not the first day. Light came from God. Amen. And we can look out there and we see billions of stars. Although I don't know if we can actually see all those stars that they tell me there's many of them out there. That declares the glory of God. It also declares that there is a God. There is a maker. There is a creator. Amen. You ever consider the creation we live in? The air you breathe? How delicately balanced it is and our bodies have to work with it? Have you ever considered how get bigger telescopes and you can see more stars? If they get a bigger telescope, they see more stars. They haven't found the end of it yet. That's how big God is. And just as big as he is, that way you turn around and go down, you start looking at the microscopic level, and then below the microscopic level, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and more profound and more complex and more intricate, and it determines and declares over and over again, there is a creator with a bigger mind and a more intelligence than you and I could ever imagine. He's God. Amen. He creates. He makes things. He formed you out of the dust of the ground. He formed us to be used for his glory and his honor. The Bible says he created all things and they were created for his honor and his glory. Amen. The name of God should be taken when we approach God. We should take it seriously. We should consecrate him. We should consecrate his name. We should consecrate who he is in our hearts. We should be taking this very seriously because he is God.
Amen.
Another thing to think about when I think about this creator, he's our caretaker. How many of us go through life thinking that we got what we've got because we're so good at our jobs? Everybody should have raised their hand on that one. Do you know if you got a brain in your head and it works, God gave you that brain. If you have a skill and you developed it and you worked at it and you perfected it and you're the very best at what you do, God gave you that ability. Everything you have came from God. Every single thing. The clothes on your back, the car you drive, the house you live in, whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you take pleasure in, whatever it is you take pride in, it came from God. Amen. You got a wife, you got a husband, you got children, they all came from God. Amen. Did you eat breakfast this morning? It came from God. Amen. We have a beautiful day, it came from God. When we get the rain, it came from God. When we get the dry spells, it came from God. Whatever it is, it came from God. Interesting thing in Acts chapter 14, Paul's preaching. And he tells them that everything came from God. He gives us the rain. He gives us harvest so we can have fruitful seasons and plentiful bellies and be joyful in it. And I misquoted it, but you can look it up. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. Our all comes from God. The rain comes and the crops grow and you get to eat cornbread or you get to eat corn tortillas or you get to eat enchiladas or you get to eat beans and cornbread. Whatever it is, it all came from God. Yes, He's taking care of you. Yes, right. He told the disciples one time, He said that, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And if one of them falls to the ground, God takes note of it. Are ye not better than many sparrows? He takes care of you. He says, all your hair, the hairs on your head are numbered. He knows how much hair you got. And when you start losing it, He's counting down too. Several people in here like me sort of bald. For a long time, God was subtracting numbers. I mean, why? Because He cares. He's our caretaker. It says that He keeps our tears in a bottle. Amen. That's the kind of God we have. He cares what's going on in our lives. He teaches us that we should be rejoicing when others rejoice and sorrowing when others sorrow. He cares the same way for us. He tells us that we ought to be forgiving of others. Do you ever think about that? He is just that forgiving with you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. What a glorious thing to know. He forgives us more than we forgive others.
Yes.
He's a God who cares about everything that goes on in our lives. He cares when we have sickness and He cares when we have joy. He cares when our children are sick and He cares when our parents are sick. He cares when everything is going on, when it's going good and when it's going bad. And He tells us, be careful because sometimes it's going to be good and sometimes it's going to be bad. And you have to weigh the one against the other because this life is not always going to be good. But He said, I'll never leave you.
Amen.
He said, I'll never forsake you. So that we may boldly say the Lord is my helper. Now that's a good caretaker. You know, when you think it's having a hard time, God says all the wealth, He made it. When you need it, He'll provide it. He's a wonderful God.
Amen.
That's the God we go to in prayer. That's the God we need to be considerate of when we go to Him. He's the one we look at and we come to Him and we think about it. We ought to say, hallowed be Thy name. You are God. It is important for us to consecrate, to make sacred. That's what hallowed means, to consecrate, to make sacred, to declare as holy in our own lives and our own way of thinking. That's who God is. We should take Him seriously, extremely seriously. Another thing I want to think about this morning, He's our Savior. In July of 1978, I got on my knees in my house.
Amen.
all by myself. I asked Jesus Christ to save me, and he did. I took a promise that he said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, Lord, you said that. That's a promise. It says, if I'll do it, you'll do it. So I did it, and he did it. I have learned over the years how great a salvation that really is. Do you know God became a man? That God that created you and declared that certain things are right and wrong, gave you the ability to know between right and wrong, and you failed. All of the human race has failed ever since Adam, the first man that was created, fell in sin. We have been falling in sin and following that same path because we're selfish, we're self-seeking, we want what we want, and we don't care what's right or wrong, we want what we want. God decided to save that fallen race. And in doing so, God himself became a man. And he walked on this earth. He lived like you and I lived. The Bible says that he was tempted just like we were. He went through the same problems we go through. He had people mocking him. He had people tease him. He had people that gave him a hard time. He was tempted with all the temptations we are tempted with. Probably much harder than we go through. You said the Bible says he did it without sin. And then this God, who's made himself subject to the limitations of being a human, wholly committed to God, went to die.
Thank you, Lord.
And he died on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that God made him, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to be sin for us.
Amen.
He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
I cannot imagine a greater thing to tell somebody.
Amen.
You can be forgiven of all of your sins because God died for you.
Amen.
I know a lot of people have a hard time thinking that way. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 that we've been purchased by the blood of God.
Amen.
God died for us. The one we pray to, the one we call on, the one we hope in, the one who gave us life and who gave us everything that we have, he went to the cross and he died for you. Every time we go to God in prayer, every time we lift up our thoughts to God, every time we think about him, we ought to be thinking about how serious it was that God cared so much for us, his creation, that he gave himself to give you eternal life. It is my pleasure day in and day out when I can to tell somebody you can be saved. Somebody died for you. Somebody took your place in the punishment of God against sin. They took your place and God cursed him. And Jesus Christ died for you. And if you'll ask him, he'll save you.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Amen.
He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what salvation is. Somebody took your place with the wrath of God so that you could have the righteousness of God. Which always amazes me when I think about that. God gives us the righteousness of God and takes away our sin. That's the biggest transaction that's ever happened throughout history. And it happens on a regular basis when somebody calls on Jesus Christ and says, please forgive me. I want to be saved. And God saves souls. Hallowed be his name. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our consecration. He's worthy of making him sacred and special and a special place in our hearts for him. And every time we go to him, we ought to remember how great this God is. He's amazingly special and tender and loving with us. I think about him. When I think about this, I think about God Almighty and who God is, Jesus Christ. I know that Jesus is God. I know that God is Jesus. Amen. They are one and the same.
Amen.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, I think it's verse 19, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What's that name? That name is Jesus.
Amen.
You want to know how I know? Because all the disciples, when they were baptizing in Acts, they baptized in the name of Jesus. You know what Jesus said before Abraham was? I am. You know what the name of God was to the Jews? I am. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Father, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that he's the eternal Father. He's the mighty God. He is the counselor. He is all God in all the way.
Amen.
And he will be God for all time. It also says in Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus, which is the name above every name, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we come to. And when we're talking about hallowed be thy name, it's the name of Jesus which is above all names. I just want to say a few things about this Jesus and about this name. Just a list I put together, and you'll probably think of some other ones. He's our advocate. He's the second Adam. Took the place of the first Adam under which we were cursed to give us eternal life. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the apostle of our profession. He's our atonement. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the balm of Gilead. He's the beginning and the end. He's the branch. He's the bread of life. He's the bright and morning star. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the chief cornerstone. He's Christ. He's our consolation. He's the consolation of Israel. He's counselor. He's creator. He's the dayspring from on high. He's the deliverer. He's the desire of nations. He's the door. By him any man can enter in. He's the everlasting Father. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the first and the last. He's the gift of God. He's God. He's the God of comfort, the God of consolation. He's the God of hope. He's the God of patience. He's the God of peace. He's the God of the living. He's good. He's good to all of us. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's our help, a present help in time of trouble. He's our high priest, our great high priest, our merciful and faithful high priest. He is holy. He's the Holy One. He's the Holy One of God. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's our hope. He's the hope of the blessed hope that we have. He's the horn of salvation. He is I am. I am that I am. And before Abraham was, I am. He's the image of the invisible God. He is Emmanuel. He is immortal. He is invisible. He's the judge of the earth. He's the just and the justifier of them that believe on Jesus Christ. He's the just one. He's the king. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of kings. He's the king of the Jews. He's the coming king. And he's going to reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And he's going to reign forever and ever after that. He is the King. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb that was slain. He's life. He's light. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is Lord. He's Lord of all. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of lords. And he's the Lord our righteousness. He is love. He is the maker of all things. He's the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's the mediator. The mediator between God and man and the mediator of the new covenant. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty God. He's the offspring of David. He's the Passover, our Passover. He's our peace. He provides peace for us. He's the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the potter. He molds our lives. He's the Prince of life. He's the Prince of peace. He's the Prince of the kings of the earth. He's prophet. He's our Redeemer. He's our resurrection and the life. He's the righteousness of God and our righteousness. He's the rock. He's the root of David. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the sacrifice, our sacrifice, the sacrifice accepted by God. He's our salvation. He's our sanctifier. He's our Savior. He's the seed of the woman, the promised seed to bruise the serpent's head. He's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's the son of David, the son of God, son of man. He's our strength. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's the son of righteousness. He's the vine, the true vine. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His wisdom and understanding. He is wonderful. And his name is wonderful. He only doeth wondrous things. He's the word of God, the word of life, and the word preached unto us. And he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise, worthy of our thoughts, worthy of our time. Some other things about him: he's all-knowing, he's all-present, he's all-seeing. He changes not. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning with him. He's eternal. He faints not, neither is weary. He's faithful. Great is his faithfulness. He's full of compassion. He's the giver of all things. He's glorious. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. His mercy endureth forever. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He inhabits eternity. He inhabits the praises of his saints. He sits on the circle of the earth. He heareth prayer. What a wonderful thing. And he came to take away our sins.
Glory to God.
I'm going to read Revelation chapter 4. Probably all know this one. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, Thou art worthy, O God, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Then if you turn to the next chapter in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the head and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, which are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
Amen.
If I can say something today, and if I can declare it and put it in your heart so that you never forget it.
Yes.
Hallowed be the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallowed be the name of that man who created us, that God who made us what we are, and then gave us eternal salvation and wants us to live with him and reign for him forever and ever.
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The service isn't over just yet.
Amen.
We're going to have a baptism. Can I ask you to go out the doors and gather around the baptistry outside? We're glad you're here this morning. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.